Episode 237, the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal, DeQuincy.
Hey there. How you okay? Your voice sounds a little off.
I thought I'd start with a somber start. It's kind of a somber day.
Yeah, it's September 11th. It's 22 years since 9/11. God, time really just not stop.
Yep.
And, you know, for me, I'm a person, my memory comes and goes whenever it wants to, but I always remember sitting in Mr. Lightfoot Algebra 2 class in high school, my sophomore year, and looking at the TV and watching those planes go directly into the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Very, very surreal, very scary as the day progressed. Because I think I was in eighth grade at the time. And we got the announcement, you know, short, like in the middle of first period, I guess. Or as first period was ending. And, you know, they sent us home like an hour later. And it's like,
y'all got sent home?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to stay the whole day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you were in middle school. I was in high school. That was my sophomore year. Yeah, so we were there the entire day.
Oh man!
In fact, I still remember we were I know it sounds terrible, but we were like cracking some jokes. Like, was the pilot blind when the first plane hit? Because we had no idea. We thought it was an accident until the second plane came through.
Look, our age difference isn't that far apart. I think that whole group of people at that time was definitely not aware of the gravity and severity of that situation.
Like, who gave him his license? How can you not see that big old building? It's like, oh, this was intentional.
You knew it was real when you got home, no matter what time, whether if it was in the middle of the day or was at regular time during the day. And no channel was available. You know, if you go home after school and you're, you do homework or you take a few minutes to watch a cartoon, like your routine, it just, that routine was interrupted. And probably, permanently in a way. And you get home and that routine you're used to is not available. Like, every channel, ESPN, Nickelodeon, everything was on like some sort of, emergency channel or some sort of, news report, like ongoing news report. And then that's when it kind of kicked in. It's like, oh man, like this is something, like this is, beyond just any kind of, major event.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a terrorist attack. So we live in Houston. So of course, if people are like, oh, are we going to get hit next? I mean, we got energy capital, like what's going to happen here? And I remember that fear set in for the entire day of going in school and people just being upset, emotional, like the principal had to get on the announcement, was trying to calm everyone down. And it was just a somber, I just remember being a somber, like chaotic day at school that day. And like just being miserable and wrapped up emotions while they're still trying to find the bodies and pull people out of the wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, that's been 22 years.
Yeah, just like that.
It's crazy to think about. That is more than half our lives.
Right. Crazy to think, yeah, that's what it is now.
Remember, you used to be able to just go to the airport 30 minutes before your flight and get on, and your family could walk you all the way up to the damn door and everything?
Right.
Yeah, those days are longer gone. Better take off them shoes and take off that belt, buddy boy.
If you're lucky, that's all you're gonna have to do.
You don't want them to pull you out and be like, all right, time for the glove to go up you nowhere. That's great. My son is 10 years old. He does not know a pre-9/11 world.
Right.
He just now knows a world where America isn't at war in Afghanistan.
Are they teaching 9/11 already, like to his age group in school, or is that later on in like later history classes he'll take? I don't know. That's weird.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the history teacher's lesson, but I feel like that's something that they're going to get into middle school, high school, because something like that may be too intense. Like, I'm sure they talk about what happened that day, but it's not like they get into detail. Like, they don't know what we know, but yeah. Because they have the moment of silence and the observation of the school and everything, but there's like, oh, something that it was an attack on American citizen, but it's not like they're not going to get into the nitty gritty on who did what and how it all started. Well, shit, we barely get in, as American people in our 30s and 40s, we barely get into the nitty gritty of how all this happened and how far. How far it all goes, like it's a domino effect. The CIA says, oh, here you go, Afghans. Hey, we're gonna give you some weapons so you can fight the Russian and the communists, and you'll always be loyal to us, right? Sure, Americans. And we see how that turned out.
Yeah, nothing is as simple as it seems.
Your friend today could be your enemy 10 years down the road. Geopolitics. But anyway, we didn't come here to get too deep into the weeds and have the CIA find our IP addresses and hunt us down like dogs. We came to
Luckily,
talk.
that is not our job to figure out and to discuss.
Yes. We came here to talk about the beautiful sport of wrestling. We have not,
Professional wrestling.
yeah, we haven't talked about wrestling on this podcast in months. We've been preoccupied with other things, football, baseball, I think so. From one sad subject to another.
Quick recap, Roman Reigns is still the champion of the universe, of the company, of everything.
Time, yes, continue.
Gunther is still the Intercontinental Champion.
He's having a celebration tonight. He's
And
celebrating.
MJF is still the AEW champ, world champion. So
Woo.
not a whole lot of like significant changes have happened, like drastic changes since the last time we talked about wrestling.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is still the world champ.
Well, maybe one significant change.
Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
It's got to be the firing of CM Punk, right?
Well, you want to start with the happy, or you want to start with you want to start with the sad or the super sad? Where you want to go?
I guess we should start with the super sad.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it. So, how long has it been? 2 weeks now?
I think two or three weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it's about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Triple H tweeted out the news that William Rotunda, aka Bray Wyatt, had passed away. It's the
Unexpectedly.
first. Go ahead.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah. And super unexpected, because I had heard that they were preparing for him to come back. Like, he was getting ready to come back into the ring and feud with, I don't even remember who they said, but yeah, like he was supposed to be coming back soon. So when I saw that tweet, like, I was floored. Like, I was praying that someone had hacked into Triple H's Twitter slash X account and was just fucking with us. But nah,
It was all too real.
yeah, the longer the news went on, there was no redaction. It was like, yeah, this really happened. This guy passed away, 36 years old. And I don't know, do you want to get into the details of what happened?
I mean, they're not entirely, it's at this point, it's not extensive, but the brief details basically are that he came back earlier this year, to mixed results. Gotta be honest about it, to mixed results in terms of the program. The excitement was there, like the fact that he was back was huge. Then he went away mysteriously. He just went away suddenly. He won his first program back on television, the LA Knight feud. He won that and disappeared. And usually it's the other way around. The person that loses the feud, may or may not go away for a little bit to kind of reset, recharge, retool the character. But the victor in this story went away abruptly.
Well,
And
hold on. After he got done with LA Knight, he was feuding with Bobby Lashley.
he was about to, yeah. He
Yeah,
was
there was.
starting to, that's right.
Yeah.
You're right. And then he went away before that feud really could take off. And no one heard from him. And then over the summer, there was word that he had been ill. And nobody really knew what that meant. It was just, there was a serious illness and that he was, trying to recover and trying to get back. And then the word that he was getting close to returning shortly, maybe a couple of months after that. And then 3 weeks ago, the just utter bombshell that he had suddenly passed, which we now know is due to a heart attack,
Yeah,
which
what
was
happened? This illness, he contracted COVID,
right.
and COVID it affected his heart. It basically made a previous heart issue they already had worse, and he just went to sleep and never woke back up.
Yeah, horrible, horrible. And to not to make light of the story, but this was shocking, and it was a day after that, WWE, the world found out that Terry Funk had passed away. And that was more, it was shocking, not shocking, but it
It
was
was
sad.
more, it was sad, but it was expected. He was already of old age. He'd have
He was
been
on his
bad.
way out.
He was already battling an illness when he passed away. So it was sad, but it wasn't as heartbreaking
Yeah.
as Bray Wyatt's passing.
It was the circle of life completing for Terry at a natural pace, a more common pace that we're used to. But with Bray Wyatt, I mean, this guy was technically an active member of the roster,
Like we keep saying, he was coming back.
he was still one of the boys. And that is what makes it that much more devastating, is because someone that your current you were you were more recently than someone like a Terry Funk, someone that you were more recently working with, is suddenly gone. I mean, and like you said, someone that you were expecting to return, imminently. And that completely goes the wrong way, the other way. Just a terrible moment for everyone, man, for the fans, for the sport, for the performers, for his colleagues, the boys and girls in the locker room, as they call them, obviously his family, he comes from a wrestling family, and just his, actual, just, regular family, wife and children, obviously that's a terrible, terrible thing to see happen, to see them go through. But man, it is. I think you were trying to, I don't know if I cut you off, I apologize, but I feel like you were trying to allude to it being one of the bigger losses we've had in recent memory.
Oh no,
Up there with.
I was gonna say it's the first death of the, in the locker room in WWE since Benoit, I believe.
Yeah.
And we know we just had Brody Lee passing a couple years ago. Just, I said earlier, it's just heartbreaking. We saw all the fans from, people like us, just regular everyday fans, commiserating about Bray Wyatt and come together on social media to talk about him. All his fellow wrestlers, WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, everywhere, like just the outpouring of love and support shown towards him and his family. It was amazing. And then WWE, we talk about faceless, heartless corporation, but WWE do the right thing. Like all proceeds from any Bray Wyatt material going straight to the family, going straight to JoJo and the kids. And I gotta say, bravo to them, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
We don't see that very often in this
No,
world,
not at all.
unfortunately. And man, all I can say about Bray Wyatt, as far as his legacy, like he was a builder. Like he could just build and create these massive, complex designs and plans and everything in his head, and he could just like just draw you into his world by doing the cult leader gimmick, the Fiend, the Firefly Funhouse. That Firefly Funhouse match that he had with John Cena was one of the most daring, innovative things WWE has ever done, where they literally were like they took a mirror to themselves and to John Cena's career and legacy, and like, we're gonna be honest about this, and we're gonna show, Vince McMahon the side with the horn, the horn puppet, talking about all this good shit and everything, and looking at John Cena's like entire legacy from beginning to now. And it's like it was one of the greatest things, and almost like self-depreciating things where like, yeah, we know we can be the bad guys, and that was all Bray Wyatt's brainchild.
Yeah. And
And
the problem that it seems like he had was just that struggle for creative control, and a lot of very talented people that, are sometimes better than the people that you hire to write stories, have an issue and struggle with, loosening the reins. And as they should, as he should have, he whatever issue he had with creative, I think was justified because you don't like come across minds like that for this sport that are active competitors like very often. And when you've got someone like that who has a feel, not just because he's comes from a wrestling family or whatever, but you could tell it was just innate, like the feel for the sport and what piques the fans' interests, what they don't like, what is going to keep them, guessing and tuning in, and on the edge of their seats, and blown away at times, like you said with the Firefly Funhouse, that's someone you should, that you should give control to.
I always feel like Bray Wyatt had all these ideas. It's like you seen Loki, right?
Yes.
So at the end, when they're talking about the sacred timeline, they have all these other timelines branching out of it. I feel that like that's Bray Wyatt. He has all these ideas and plans, and they go everywhere. And like someone up top, like Triple H or Vince McMahon, has to come in with the lasso, like, hold on, buddy, we gotta slow this down, or else it's not gonna make sense.
you know, you have to understand. Yeah, like I think when you come across a mind like that, you've got to trust them more. And look, I'm not saying that would have changed the outcome that we're in. But you know, you do have to kind of look at everything, you know, because that's all you can do at this point. There's nothing else to look forward to, unfortunately. You can only look back at what he accomplished and what, you know, what could have been. But there's really nothing else to, you know, to take forward with it.
I'm
And in
just
ring, the guy for being a big guy, when he dropped the Husky Harris gimmick and, you know, put on some pants and a shirt, he showed he could go, man. I mean, the guy had, you know, you watch those early matches, man. The intensity that he brought with just clotheslines and you know, sentons and you know, all you know, all his whole moveset. I mean, there was just an intensity about it.
Everything mattered.
Yeah.
Everything he did was there to draw you in and be like, what's this guy's deal? I need to pay attention to him. From, like, say, his repackaging into the Bray Wyatt character when they brought him up from NXT and they made him a big deal from night one with him and his family all the way through, unfortunately, the end of his life. Like, everything that he did, even if it didn't work 100%, it caught your attention. Like, people who didn't watch WWE were like, you walked. It's I had Raw on, and he comes out wearing that Fiend mask. Like, people are going to stop and be like, who is that? And what's going on?
Exactly.
It's just. It just sucks that we lost that mind so soon. I mean, he was only 36 years old. It feels like he had decades upon decades of stories to tell us.
Yeah.
It's just, just want to say, you know, we appreciate all the times and moments that we had with Bray and all the happiness that he gave us and he gave to all the fans around the world. And we're going to miss him. And, you know, just want to send our thoughts and prayers to his family, to all his fans, to everyone. We really lost a good person.
Yeah, absolutely. There will, I don't think you'll ever see a personality like that in the sport. Not in our lifetimes, at least.
All right. I'm starting to tear up over here. So let's go to something that made me happy. CM Punk got fired for being a
It
douche.
was a long time coming. And it was, if anything, the best thing that could have come out of that was Tony Khan is at least in this instance seemed to take control of his company back.
Hold on, before we go any further, because I dog AEW whenever they do something wrong, so I'm gonna sit here and give applause and claps and everything to Tony Khan. He did what he needed to do. I didn't think he'd ever fire CM Punk, especially after the first incident, the brawl out incident. I thought, oh, CM Punk just has this guy by the balls. He's too much of a fan to be the boss he needs to be and get rid of this dork. And what does he do? He comes out. Not only does he fire CM Punk for cause, which was enough for me to tip my hat to this man. He fires him on that Saturday before Collision in Chicago. Like, he could have easily waited until next Monday or Tuesday, but no, he got his big boy pants out there, fired him right before Collision, right before the All In pay-per-view on Sunday
In Chicago,
in
still.
Chicago. And then before Collision, he goes out there, takes the slings and arrows to the fans, explain why he fires them. And he does that not only to tell everybody what's going on, but also so none of his wrestlers feel that abuse, you know, whoever comes out first. He
Right.
stands out there, he protects his wrestlers not only by firing CM Punk, firing his headache and his cancer in the locker room, but also standing in front of a hostile Chicago crowd and just says, "Hey, lay it on me. Boo, scream, yell all you want." He actually had a chair out there and he sat down like the substitute teacher does, just sits down like, "All right, whenever y'all want to stop acting like punks, we can do this." And like I commend him. Like I have to give Tony Khan props for being for standing up, being the man, and doing what need to be done.
I do too, because again, yeah, it was something that didn't seem like was ever going to happen. If you just watch those press conferences, even the Brawl Out press conference, you know, the post-media scrums. I mean, the way this guy fawns over Punk in those press conferences and gives him that, oh, you
Oh, you.
now, Punk, you know,
Oh,
be nice.
stop it. Be nice. Be nice.
He finally had enough. And, you know, it he chose he finally chose the company over one man. Because this whole time, you know, from the first incident, you know, the media scrum, you know, the whatever happened after that,
Brawl out. We're just calling it brawl out.
well, you know, he wasn't showing the leadership that I think a lot of these people are used to seeing, whether it was because they worked for Vince McMahon or worked in Japan, where they don't fuck around either, or, you know, wherever th they come from. You know, he finally showed that he is in control. And really, it's been a bumpy road since then, just because the shows I don't think have been very good. But it was never going to be easy transitioning into a post-punk world, post-punk, you know, era. But he, you know, this was the first big step for him, taking control, taking the hit, you know, in front of that audience, and doing it, you know, before these two big events. I mean, it took a lot. And you know, hopefully it instills confidence in his performers that, you know, he does have their backs and does have the company's best interest, you know, in mind above all else.
We're going to see what happens because if I'm a WB official, like I'm good on you for firing, but I'm also a little nervous that we're still putting out this Saturday wrestling show and college football is back. We're doing you're telling me we're doing a Saturday wrestling show without our main star and we're going up against Alabama, Texas? Okay, this is going to work out well. It's like,
And now you're looking at probably going up against Coach Prime, because you got to think those games are going to start getting shifted to prime time.
know how college TV works. I don't know if they do shifting. I don't know.
Oh.
If the Colorado games can be shifted tonight, they will be shifted tonight because they put on two hell of a games already. And
And just a sidebar, I got a complaint. I should put money on that first game, that first Colorado game. They were 7-1 underdogs, and they are never
really?
gonna be 7-1.
Oh,
They're never
wow.
going to be 7-1 underdogs for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I would
Should
have put $100 down.
put some money on Sanders' son to win the Heisman because he's, I think so far he's thrown 9 touchdowns, no interceptions.
He's looking good, man. He's looking good. If he's a 7-1 underdog to win, maybe I'll put some money.
I'll try to find some odds whenever I can. But yeah, back to AEW and CM Punk of it all.
If anything, one of the few saving graces that you know, maybe not an entire saving grace, but something that, you know, I think is something to, you know, make you get, or like that's going to force some creativity on their part, is maybe they have to work cut a deal with some of these other companies like Japan and wherever else. But like, because I'm thinking of Bryan Danielson's, farewell tour, basically. That his segment over the weekend, he announced that, time is running out. He is getting ready to retire. And now it's not necessarily about titles for him. It seems like it's more about dream matches. And I think if you want to keep interest on that Saturday show, I think you have to find a way to book several of those dream matches and put them on live television on a Saturday night.
Well, the good thing is their little soft brand split is over with because the Young Bucks were on Collision. So they'll be able to do more wrestling matchups that they weren't able to do before when Punk was there. So that'll be slight saving grace. And you talk about them doing matches, dream matches with guys from New Japan and Impact. They'll still do that. I mean, Forbidden Door is always going to be there. I believe that's going to be a yearly thing. My only thing is, like, we talk about Daniel Bryan going away. Like, I really wish AEW and WWE would play nice, because I would love to just have Daniel Bryan go one-on-one with Seth Rollins.
That would be the ultimate. I don't know.
Or we get if WWE doesn't want to put their main roster on AEW, like, can I get Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson against Carmelo Hayes or Ilya Dragunov?
Dragon Lee.
Yes. I'm mad because I'm fantasy booking this shit. Give me Dragunov Danielson, damn it. I think AEW is going to be fine, but they have their built-in base. I worry about their base getting bigger because it seems like they're only catering to their base. But I think for the most part, like, it's long term, they're going to be fine. Short term, college football is going to hurt them. But long
Of course.
term, when the college football season is over and people come back, AEW Collision is going to be fine. Dynamite is going to continue to do almost a million a week. Like, I don't like this isn't going to hurt AEW at all. If anything, it's going to make them better because like I said, they don't have to worry about this soft brand split. They can make the matches and they can do what they need to do on a week-to-week basis without worrying about Asian megalomaniac
Right.
who
And
telling Tony Khan what he needs to do.
really the only thing they would have to worry about is just the patience or lack thereof of WBD. How nervous, or how long do they, or how long of a leash do they give the company with the Saturday night spot? That's really the ultimate factor because they're cutting costs everywhere they can.
Yeah. But I feel like they gotta understand, like, just how Raw understands they're gonna take a hit with Monday Night Football. They gotta understand
Prime tonight.
college football is Saturday King, so there's nothing they can do about it. I remember thinking, like, when they were announcing Dynamite, they were trying to figure out where they're gonna put it. I was like, man, you only have so many places that you can put a wrestling show. Like, you can't do Monday because you're not going against. You can't do Monday night, Friday night because WWE. Saturday and Sunday, you don't want to go against NCAA and NFL football.
Just the
Thursday,
weekend.
Tuesday and Thursday, you got basketball, TNT. So it was like Wednesday is the only choice they had. Yeah, I think they'll be just fine. I'm not really too worried about them. What I am worried about is these persistent rumors I keep hearing about CM Punk wanting to come back to the WWE.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there for him to do? Right?
Hey, let's see if he can go to Impact. I don't need him on Mondays or Fridays.
CM Punk does not strike me as the kind of guy that is going to take a pay cut at this stage in his career, even though he doesn't, even though he can afford to take a pay cut, doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would ever take a pay cut.
That he better get a 2 liter of Pepsi and keep his ass at home.
Right.
Let's be honest. What does CM Punk do? What does he do for you? What is the upside of CM Punk?
As demented as it sounds, the only upside he has at this point is what kind of trouble is he going to cause backstage?
And that's not fun for me.
It's not fun for a lot of people. It's not fun for the people that have to deal with it. But really, that's the most interesting thing about him. I don't see another WWE pipe bomb. You know, I don't see him. I don't see him having one left in him.
Yeah, especially when he spent all this time talking about how WWE sucks and like he need to be the voice of the voices and blah 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 blah, and then you get to the place that seems like it should be the perfect place for you in AEW. Like you should be happy as hell over there, and then you burn out over there, and now you come back and talk about, oh, how you gonna come back? I'm just asking, how you gonna come back to WWE now after you done trashed, like you done trashed it, and you went to the place that's supposed to be anti WWE, and you fucked up there too. And also, let's talk about CM Punk. Can we be honest about CM Punk? Are we in the safety tree? Can we be honest? You give me a
worst flying elbow drop of all time.
He was not a great wrestler when he was in his prime in WWE.
Oh, yes, that too. That too.
He's lost multiple steps.
Yeah.
No. Sure. Not one or two. Multiple steps. So you got this aging wrestler who's not as good as a wrestler he used to be. Nowhere near close. Who also can't stay healthy. He won the title twice. Got injured twice. Dropped the title twice.
And let's be honest, the fans that are going to tune into WWE,
mm-hmm.
you might start seeing more crossover because of the merger with the UFC and Endeavor. Those are going to be the kind of fans that are not going to let him forget that he went 0-2 in the UFC. Not only can he not wrestle very well, he can't fight. Like, unless it's against Jungle Boy Jack Perry, you know, a guy who's smaller than him, he can get into a front, you know, into a front guillotine choke and potentially choke out. But I don't see him stepping up to a lot of guys on either roster, AEW or WWE. But that's the kind of fan base, those are the performers that are not going to let him forget, hey, you got beat up twice in the UFC. And you had no business being in the UFC.
I just don't.
And frankly, the UFC doesn't want to be reminded of that fact.
I just don't see him fitting into the WWE locker room. I mean, there are so many people backstage that he has bad blood with. I mean, he got into it one time with R-Truth. I don't know. Did you ever listen to the New Day podcast?
No.
They were talking about. They were talking about something, and then CM Punk got brought up, and Kofi Kingston could not change the subject fast enough. So I'm like, if Kofi Kingston doesn't fuck with you, no one should fuck with you.
Mm-hmm. And there are definitely top names, current top names, that don't want him there.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins has gone on record. I don't want him here. You know, flat out.
Yeah. And we were talking about earlier before we hopped on the podcast when he was on that Fox background backstage show. Like, Fox executives went to Vince McMahon and asked him to sign CM Punk so he could be back on WWE, you know, as a wrestler instead of just a commentator. And Vince was like, I'll sign anyone you want except for that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
And also, like, if CM Punk came back, who the hell is he feuding with? Like, the number one person that people would like to see him get into a match with, Triple H, can't wrestle.
right. Yeah, because I don't think you can bring him back as a face right away. But he's too controversial in real life to be a heel, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that does.
The only place where he's a
Where it's
face
just
is
like,
Chicago.
yeah. But I mean, I think you could pair him with Cody Rhodes.
Ooh,
But see, then
ooh,
you've got
ooh,
two.
ooh, no. So you didn't see the Cody Rhodes do documentary, or did you?
I haven't, no.
Nah, well, they made a point of talking about why he left AEW, and he was like, it wasn't a financial reason or anything, it was a personal reason. And then he goes out of his way to like thank the Young Bucks and thank Kenny Omega. And so when you think about it, who came in to AEW right as Cody left?
Yeah.
I don't think they fuck with each other at all.
Right. And that's, but see, that story's too big not to go to. But
I
then you have
understand.
the issue of you know, them agreeing on who goes over.
Oh,
I mean,
we know.
that becomes a big issue. That right off the bat, that becomes a big issue.
Well, we know who should go over, and that's
Of
Cody,
course.
because
Yeah.
they're making him the superhero du jour of WWE.
And just a side note, it's working.
Your boy. Do you remember when those all these wrestling podcasts were like, oh, they need to turn Cody heel soon? People are gonna get tired of cheering for him. It's like that whoa every time he comes out gets louder and louder.
I always liked Cody Rhodes. I always thought, you know, sticking him with the Stardust gimmick was a bad idea.
Agreed.
I never saw him as a top guy. I never did. I never saw him as the guy that he wanted to be 10 years ago. And in 10 years' time, he has thoroughly convinced me that he can be the top guy. And it is astounding that he's able to do it without any resistance from someone like me who's like, I know what this is. I know what this is, and it's working.
I see the trap. I know the trap. I'm getting in the trap. I am loving the
Yeah.
trap. He is so over. It's ridiculous. As it's like, I can't see him doing anything with CM Punk because, like you said, who goes over? It's got to be Cody. Will CM Punk understand that? Will he respect that? I don't know. So why would I even try that? So you go down the list. Who else is left? Like, you want to try CM Punk versus Roman? Like, throw him in for the Universal for a, you know, a quick run at the championship? I'm like, I don't. I feel like one spear is gonna break the real Punk's ribs. Like, I don't trust him to be healthy. His in-ring work sucks. Like, the only thing you do is hop on a microphone. So if WWE really wanted him back, like, I would go to him and be like, okay, so we're gonna give you a contract. The contract lasts for 1 year. You're gonna have 3 to 4 matches, and then that's it.
Yeah, there's no house show tour. There's no, you know, 52 weeks out of the year. It is once a quarter. That's all we get.
You're gonna make
That's all you
Roman.
get.
You're gonna make Roman look like a workhorse. That's how we're gonna treat you.
Right, yeah.
If I'm WWE, that's how I treat it. But honestly, if I'm WWE, I don't even answer that dude's call. Like, I have no interest in him coming back to the company at all.
Yeah. And, you know, I told you before we started recording, there's one factor I think that could bridge that gap that is a little more unexpected than I think what everybody's kind of figuring. It's like, well, you know, Hunter's in charge now and this and that, and Vince is no longer in charge, you know, or as of at least for another few hours, Vince is not, you know, the guy. But he will be again very, very soon. But I have to think that if there is interest on either side, whether the interest comes from UFC or from the WWE, or whether the interest comes from CM Punk, and there's resistance on either side to come to the table, to even pick up the phone, I think this is where the merger comes into play. I think this is where, as far as we know, Dana White had nothing bad to say about CM Punk, but I feel like he's a guy that can go to Vince and try and reason with him, and go to Ari Emanuel and try, and if he can't, and get him to reason with Vince why this could make sense, or why go to Punk and say this is why it could make sense. You know, whether or not you want Punk back in WWE, if it's something that either side wants, Dana could, there's a possibility that Dana could get involved somehow to, you know, be the facilitator in this whole situation. And I think that's something that people aren't thinking about right at this moment, but with good reason.
If I'm Vince, I'll turn to him and say, you worry about paying your fighters. Don't worry about what we're doing over here.
Right. Of course.
How about you stop hitting your wife? How about that? Worry about that shit before you worry about our house over here.
Yeah.
If they came, like, the merger's allegedly finishing tomorrow today by the time you guys hear this. If someone come, they would come to me and be like, all right, we want to bring CM Punk. I'd be like, if that's what you want, fine. But y'all putting y'all names on this. If I don't have a choice in the matter, y'all going to force me into doing this, that's fine. But this is going to be on you, Emmanuel, and this is going to be on you, wife beater. I'm not, leave me up out of it. Yeah. I'm going to put the most restrictive, like I said, 1 year, 4 matches, get in, get out. You're going to be a special attraction like Goldberg. We're not. And as soon as you start acting a fool in the locker room, you're gone, buddy. I'm not going to have this. I am not Tony Khan. You ain't going to get chance after chance. You got one
I
fuck
think
up.
That's how it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, since you already brought it up, let's talk about the merger happening. There should be a finish tomorrow.
Yep.
I don't know. Is there any, like, new information about the merger that we know of?
As far as I know, sorry, dog's barking.
Sorry.
I try to mute it as much as I could. But I think, you know, the only things, I guess, that were, there's really nothing new as far as I know. You know, the company on the New York Stock Exchange is going to be TKO Holdings, ticker symbol TKO. Right.
That's like Elon Musk turning Twitter into X. Like, it sounds cool. Yeah, to a 10-year-old, maybe.
Yeah.
You're 45 years old. Stop it.
Somehow Vince is going to be the third highest on the org chart. Ari Emanuel, the head man, forgot who's number two, but Vince is like number three in the company, which is insane given that he's 77 years old and just coming off major back surgery.
And sexual assault accusations.
But all these things that were announced months ago are still in place, it seems like. It's just, it all finally becomes official, Tuesday morning.
Yeah, so tonight's Raw is going to be the end of the McMahon era. Like I said, he's going to be third. Yes, he's going to be executive chairman of UFC and WWE. That would be the official title.
Yeah. And
So let me ask
it's
you.
unprecedented, really, man, that World Wrestling Entertainment, World Wrestling Federation, Worldwide Wrestling Federation, whatever you want to call it, whatever iteration, of this company, for the first time in over 60 years, it seems like, will, Tuesday morning will no longer be in control of someone named McMahon,
So let me ask you, what were some of your favorite moments of the Vince McMahon era of WWE?
I mean, of course the Austin feud, that just seemed to get better every week.
Austin hitting him with a bedpan in the hospital bed will always make me laugh. It'll never miss with me.
What? How'd you bring that up? I'm surprised that that bedpan is not like in the Smithsonian or the television, whatever they, the Television Hall of Fame or something like that,
It's
wherever.
got to be sitting in a warehouse waiting for them to build the actual WWE Hall of Fame so it could be prominently placed in there. But you're right. Stone Cold Vince McMahon, it was just the everyman story of you hating your boss and be able to put hands on him. So it worked on every level. What other things from just the Vince McMahon era? Like your
Just
favorite storylines or things that you liked?
I think just the fact that, he put every ounce of his like life into professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it, and created the formula that everyone's trying to emulate. And I mean, look at what we're seeing with AEW. The problems we're seeing with A the problems that we're seeing with AEW would never, sniff the surface of WWE. These types of problems. Because when you're the sheriff and you lay down the law, like it's your way or the highway. And for better or worse, and there's been a lot of bad in that time,
Oh, and I'm going to get to it.
it has kept the company afloat and has kept a lot of performers employed. It's made a lot of people a lot of money, and it's entertained the hell out of us for a long time, too.
We talk about the worst, you can just can't overlook the blatant racism.
I mean, God. Whew. I mean, saying words like the words on television, paper, whether it's pay-per-view or not, like,
Yeah, saying the N-word to John Cena in front of Booker T and Charmel. The Mexicals. And for you, those of you who do not remember or were too young to watch, the Mexicals were a group of Mexican wrestlers who came down to the ring in souped up lawnmowers.
And basically billing every Canadian wrestler that is of a different ethnicity from their country of origin. So Jinder Mahal, who is Canadian, is billed from was it Mumbai, India?
India, yeah.
who was not born in India, as far as I can tell, was born in Canada, but is from India in this instance. Santino Marella, born in Canada, I believe.
Oh, it keeps going. Where was Yokozuna born?
Yokozuna is an American, was an American.
He was a Samoan, was he not?
American Samoan, billed from Japan. And I was just hearing someone talk about watching wrestling as a kid, how the American audience, when Yokozuna fought Bret Hart, who is Canadian, was cheering USA when Bret Hart fought Yokozuna at SummerSlam.
Nice to
Not
see.
knowing that the man that they thought was from Japan is actually more American than Bret the Hitman Hart.
There's chanting USA to the Canadian. It's great to see that the United States educational system has always been the dirt.
And then I had it in my head.
Oh, if we're going to talk about the blatant racism, let's talk about the blatant sexism. Bra and panties matches my entire childhood, damn near all the way
Adolescent.
to adolescence, adulthood, all that.
Yeah.
Basically treating the women's matches like they were bathroom breaks, which they were because they were booked so shoddily.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was
The women just were basically sex appeal. Can they wrestle in the ring? Who cares? They're gonna be halfway naked, so who gives a fuck?
right. The quicker we can get them to the ground, the better.
Yes.
There was another pretty bad moment. I can't, I had it in my mind. It just slipped right now.
We're talking about bad storylines because I got one that just came to my mind.
The most controversial storyline
Which
of all
one?
time that ruined a man's career, Muhammad Hassan.
Oh, who also was not Pakistani or whatever.
No, he's from the Bronx or something, or like somewhere in New York. He's not even Arab, he's Italian.
Yes, that's what it, he's Italian.
Yeah, insane. But to air, to go through with that story, or with that scene.
Oh, when he summoned all his terrorist buddies to take
Masked
care,
terrorists. Oh my God.
yes, to take out the Undertaker. That happened on the same day as the, I believe, the London bus bombings. And they were like, no, we can show it as is. Who going? Oh no, we shouldn't have done that. We're talking.
UPN said, no, you shouldn't have done
We
that.
really shouldn't. Oh, you're gonna do it? Okay, we're gonna see how this works out.
So I had no idea. I actually was just reading about that storyline like last week. Hassan was in line to be like pushed. They were ready to strap the rocket to him as the ultimate heel.
And then a little thing called real life terrorism happened, and
Yeah.
he went away. Like the Undertaker power bombed him through a door, and was never seen again.
The
Which
idea that at least for storyline, because he is Italian, he's not actually like someone of Middle Eastern descent. But the idea that a Middle Eastern character in the mid-2000s was in line to be a world champion was huge. You hadn't seen that since the Iron Sheik in the 80s.
They were gonna make him the ultimate bad guy. I'm trying to think other terrible storylines. Billy and Chuck.
Yeah, Billy and Chuck. Tough enough.
God, did anyone?
Kurt Angle almost got his arm broken on live television by a former UFC fighter or a mixed martial artist fighter.
Oh yeah, that's right. Man, did anyone come out looking good from the shows?
The Miz.
Was he on Tough Enough?
He was on Tough Enough. Yeah.
Let's see. What are the Katie Vick story?
Yeah.
Oh, Mae Young and Mark Henry.
Oh boy.
Mae Young giving birth to a hand. Just Lita having a miscarriage.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that too.
Lita and Edge, little sex of pain on Monday Night Raw, where they're about to get in bed and get it on.
Going through the real life story, the real life drama between with Edge and Lita and Matt Hardy, like actually let that play out on television is insane. Because it's like, as performers, you have a story to tell, but as humans, it's like, this is my actual life. Like, you mean I have to like play this out on television as a story as it's actually happening? Like, this is insane.
You trust me enough to get in a ring with this man and not wring out his neck? Okay, gonna see
Yeah.
how this goes. What other things? Man, one big storyline that should have been better than it was, the invasion angle.
Yeah.
And do you know why it wasn't as good as it should have been?
Oh yeah, because all the top stars were still under contract with Turner, and they were
Yes.
just sitting at home. Hogan,
Yes.
Nash, Hall, Sting, all of them.
And the crazy part is I found out WWE could have bought their contracts too, but Vince didn't want to because he was afraid of bringing all in all those guys that are making so much money, and those guys were making more money than like The Rock and Stone Cold. And he was like, oh, I'm really don't know how this is gonna look, so best that I stay away. But I'm like, if you had brought those guys in, you would have made all the money in the world. You would have been able to afford to pay The Rock, Austin, Undertaker,
Some bonuses.
yeah, Kurt. They all could have got paid oodles and oodles of money.
Sure. The decision to stand by the show must go on.
Oh, with Owen Hart.
I mean, that is, I don't know how Vince could not regret that decision, even at this stage in his life.
Talk about a storyline that became real life. Triple H kidnapping Stephanie and marrying her.
Yeah.
Which turned into them actually getting married and having three kids, having a whole family, and that was great.
And every time Vince McMahon tried to blow himself up on television, it was followed by like a horrific event.
Yes, he had to come back and
Yeah. My favorite story about Vince, though, is just the fact that he told his performers, "I would never ask you to do something I wouldn't do myself."
oh, this is a Rob Gronkowski story.
I got it's even better. There is footage. I saw it one time. I think it got taken down, but there is footage of, was it 1995? The day before WrestleMania, Vince practicing the Shawn Michaels entrance,
Oh, the zip line.
zip line
Oh,
entrance
wow. I didn't know he did
in an empty stadium, yeah, or empty arena. Because he told Shawn, if there's any hesitation, I would never ask you to do something that I wouldn't do myself. And he is hooked into the zip line and is shot down.
and the Rob Gronkowski story I'm talking about is
Yeah.
at WrestleMania. It was the COVID one, I believe. Gronk was supposed to do a dive off awning, and the bunch of wrestlers were supposed to catch him, and he was nervous about it. So Vince, What was he? I think 73, 74.
In
Gets
his
on top.
70s.
Yeah, he gets up there and does the jump himself. It's like, if I could do it, son, you could do it. I'm like, God, oh, crazy man.
Yeah.
Oh, one moment that we got to talk about that kind of just brought the attitude era forward, the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh yeah, that's, I
Because
mean,
that
that
was
started.
base. That was the end of Vince McMahon pretending to be an announcer. Like after that happened, he was basically outed. Not basically, but he was outed as the owner of the company.
It was the genesis of Mr. McMahon.
One of the greatest wrestling characters of all time.
Without a doubt.
Sarah, trying to think of a couple of you.
Wrestle God.
Oh Lord, when Vince dies, he's going up to heaven, but not for long, just so God can get his lick back.
So God can rock bottom him
Yeah.
straight to hell.
God's really like, ring that bell. I gotta send you where you belong. Man, trying to think of some more good or not so good ones. The Vince Man Kiss My Ass Club.
Man, awful.
Oh, terrible.
But to his credit, was willing to put himself out there too, because did he not get stink faced by Rikishi at least once?
Yes, he did.
A billionaire getting stink faced is on live television is unbelievable. Allowing another billionaire to shave your head on, pay per view, in front of a live, in front of the whole world, whether you like that person or not.
Speaking of Trump, did you ever hear the story of what happened after Vince's limo blew up?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, like immediately after, or what do you?
What happened after was like after it blew up, Donald Trump was like calling the WWE offices because he thought it was real.
Oh yes, I did hear that. That's right. Yeah. That's how good they are, man. They're that good.
Wrestling is great. It's fantastic.
It's the greatest sport, the greatest form of entertainment that there is, man. It really is.
When it's terrible, it sucks. But when it's firing all cylinders, it's great.
Yeah.
Man, I had another one in my head, but I lost my train of thought earlier. Now I can't remember. Other great storylines or bad storylines. We're going both ways right now. In fact, guys, if you want to, you can email us, your favorite Vince McMahon era storylines. Just email them to us. The email's in the show notes. And if we get some, we'll talk about them next time.
Yeah.
Greatest or worst, however you're feeling. There are too
Right.
much terrible ones. Vince McMahon era is done. The king is dead. Long live the new king.
Vince
Yeah. You,
McMahon.
how do you do this? We just buried you. Can't bury me, pal.
Meet
Oh, I remember one I was
the
thinking. I remember one I'll think about when Batista and Cena both got eliminated at the Rumble at the same
Oh.
time. So he comes down snorting hellfire and brimstone, rolls, slides into the ring, hits his quad against the side of the rings, tears both of his quads, and then he's just sitting there in the middle of the ring, in the corner of the ring, with this look on his face of pure befuddlement.
And rage. Like, I can't believe I tore my quads in front of these people.
And he had to sit there and give instructions while sitting down.
Bark orders, man. It is, yeah, one of the greatest. It's, I mean, it's a top five all-time great Vince moment. I loved his feud with Mr. America. The botched promo with him and Hulk Hogan
Oh
on
Lord,
SmackDown.
you got the right gay guy.
I was just the right gay, the right guy at the wrong, at the right place, the right.
This.
And you know, when a promo is going that bad and it's not involving Vince McMahon, he's wearing a headset like yours, screaming at the cameraman, the producers, everyone. And there was nothing, he was completely powerless in this situation, having to watch Hulk Hogan daughter through that damn promo.
Couldn't even get mad because he was on camera. Had to just sit there with a blank face like this old fuck. Oh, one of the greatest promos he had, bringing back the NWO,
Oh, yeah.
where he was like, I'm going the WWE needs to die and I got the poison. And like he swivels, he turns his chair and the back of the chair says the NWO and it shows the mirror. He's like, oh.
The old NWO logo.
Yes, sir. Well, he'll still be around. He'll probably outlive the both of us.
I mean, can anybody argue with you on that one? I don't think so.
Even Satan doesn't want to see Vince McMahon because he does not want him taking, he does not want Vince trying to take over him. Right, man. Anything else wrestling wise you want to talk about?
No, man, I think that covers it. I'm excited because we're getting, you know, fall's kicking in. So, we're gonna have two straight months of John Cena on SmackDown.
Woo.
Something good actually came of the writers and actors strike. I just hope Cena gets in the gym and like bulks up a little bit. He's looking a little too human. Still giant, but you know, not compared to
Not to care
Hardy.
compared to 20 years ago when he, had a working metabolism. Is that what you're trying to
Yeah.
say? Let that old man live.
But man, I mean, 2 months of John Cena is crazy.
I wish another superstar would be able to come back, after his failing movies. He would come back and give the people what they want. His cousin's terrorizing the whole damn locker room. But where are
Yeah.
you at, Mr. Dwayne Johnson, Mr. Rock? You're too good for us.
He's got the time now. There's no movies. There's no $7 to promote.
He don't love us anymore, man. I think we just got to accept that. He don't love us no more. He's sitting at the, in that house right now, getting texts from Triple H going, ugh, rat wrestling. Ugh. All right. Well, I guess that's all we got for wrestling tonight. Good job.
But like I said, you know, we're getting into the fall, so we're getting close to Survivor Series, which I feel like last year's was great.
I wonder if they're doing war games again.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But they have more factions now, so I think it'll be, even if they don't, I think it'll still be a pretty good show. And then that just means we're getting closer to the Royal Rumble, and then you know, WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, you're here before you know it. Before we get out of here, I got some crapping to do.
Okay.
Streaming services, why are y'all getting so expensive?
Oh boy.
I just got the email from Disney saying my cost of my Disney Plus is going up. Why? Netflix, you go up every year. Why? Peacock, what's going on? Five people watch you. Why are you trying to go up? Why?
Is Peacock going up?
Either it went up or maybe it got confusing though. But why are all these streaming services getting more expensive?
Because they can?
Anthony, help me. Where's the money going, Anthony? Everybody's on strike. The writers are on strike. The actors are on strike. Where's the money going? The Netflix CEOs just throwing the money into a pit and then jumping in it, Scrooge McDuck style, just swimming, doing the backstroke with my money down there. I don't like this.
If they actually did that, I wouldn't be as mad about the price hikes.
HBO. I
wouldn't be as bothered.
HBO, Max, whatever you call it. If you bastards go up after cutting everything that you cut, I will burn down David Zaslav's house myself. I will do many crimes if HBO if Max goes up. You hear me? Many crimes.
Yeah, I know. I gotta start taking inventory and seeing if I need to start cutting stuff because it's just getting out of hand.
Only thing that saved me is the fact that I have bundles with my phone. Like I have a Netflix bundle because I have T-Mobile, and because I have Apple products, I have a in for Apple Plus, Apple TV, whatever. I don't even know the name of their streaming site, but it has like some of the best shows on there. But this is getting ridiculous. Like the only difference now between having just basic having internet and the streaming sites and having cable is the fact that I can cancel the streaming sites whenever I want to. Otherwise, I might as well just still have cable. Because these prices, I'm not saving anything when I have all these streaming. When I have Disney Plus, ESPN, Hulu's going up. Why Hulu? What? Who asked for this? Hulu, who's using you? This terrible world we live in. I'm also crapping capitalism. All right. Every day, we're going to crap on that. Capitalism, boo, terrible. 0 out of 10, no stars, hate it.
Downvote.
Downvote. I want to unfriend and block it.
Report.
Report, yeah. I want to report it for stealing my happiness and joy. I just want to get that out of my chest. That's all I had to say. All right, so we'll wrap this up. Next podcast, baseball?
Sounds good.
All right, because in like the season here, the Astros are currently disappointing me because they're losing two to nothing against the A's.
To Oakland. God, dog it.
Texas is crushing Toronto. What's that? 10-3. And Seattle is about to warm up and take on the Angels.
Probably beat the Angels.
probably so.
No Otani, no Trout. No chance.
Stink. All right. Let's get up out of here. We'll watch the rest of that. Monday Night Football is on. Raw is on. And I have to edit this stuff. So let's get it out of here. Anything else you want to say to people?
Thanks as always for tuning in.
Yes.
This is another fun one.
Yeah. Thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing. We appreciate it very, very much. And if you could, wherever you listen to this fine podcast, leave us a review. 5 stars only. 4 stars means you're a hater and you want me to cry myself to sleep. Don't do that to me. I have a very fragile ego. All right, time for us to get out of here. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Later.